Please join me in welcoming Keith Todd. He's from Local 2081, and he'll be speaking on behalf of the college's sector.
Thanks, Bev. I was asked to do this in place of Louise, who wasn't able to make it today. I'm here today to talk about QP Pride and how it relates to strong communities at Camosun College. Communities. We have our college community and the communities we live in and the communities where we do our work. Our bombshell came to us at a labor management meeting where we were informed that the college intended to close the child care facilities, putting quality child care and access to education for the parents in jeopardy. The 25 employees, some that had been there since the child care opened 20 years ago, were directed to report to the boardroom at 5:30. The staff were told that the college would no longer subsidize the child care and not to report back after the summer break. This was really a philosophical shift in management thinking and a real bad job of managing the child care centers, and a real shock to the people that had worked there for all this time. So the college started moving forward, needing a recommendation from the finance committee. All the while, the staff and the union started talking to the parents and co-workers, and they started talking to their friends and neighbors. And when you start talking to people, we started finding friends of the college. Foundation members, past board members, alumni, friendly civic counselors, and just a lot of people that believe in quality child care. And in this case, it allows people to access post-secondary opportunities when they might not have been able to. The college agreed to hear presentations of appeal at their finance meeting. Several testimonials were heard from students that had succeeded because one of the reasons was they were able to have their children looked after right at the college where they studied and did their work. As well, the union was questioning the funding formula and their budget numbers. After lengthy deliberations, the finance committee announced it would make a recommendation in the form of a motion to the college's board of governors. The date, time, and location were announced for the board meeting. As the days went by, it became increasingly obvious in the forms of letters, phone calls, email, press, and press releases that the communities were there to save the child care facilities. Board meetings are open to the public, so the college moved to a larger venue. The community support did not slow down. The college moved the meeting to an even larger venue. Our locals set the date of their monthly meetings on the same day as the board meeting, a couple hours earlier. We finished our meeting and headed across campus to the board meeting. There at the board meeting were the community members joining our college community members in a rally preceding the meeting. There was about 150 people present, many children were there, and many placards, and the press was there as well. The board meeting was a raucous one in front of all these people that sometimes just wouldn't listen to the board chair. The motion read by the board chair was to keep the daycare open for another year, set up a task force, and review how other post-secondary facilities run the daycare facilities. This is not the motion the board wanted to read, but the saving of the daycare was the work of our college community coming together with the communities that we live in and work in. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith. The next speaker will be speaking on behalf of the universities, and his name is Bill Pollard. So please join me in welcoming Bill Pollard.
Just want to thank the university sector for giving me this opportunity. I found out about it Friday night. I'm going to start. It's going to sound a little bit something like Robert Clift was talking about yesterday. For want of a nail, your shoe was lost. For want of a shoe, your horse was lost. For want of a horse, your knight was lost. For want of a knight, your battle was lost. When you look around pretty much every university campus on this province, the support staff are the nails that are keeping the shoes on and holding things together. You've got faculty, and you've got students, and you've got support staff. The students, they're doing the studying. The faculty, they're doing research. They're doing a lot of meetings, and sometimes they're even doing a little teaching. And as for the support staff, well, we're typing, photocopying, telephone answering, emailing, faxing, administering, cleaning, securing, heating, lighting, plumbing, transporting, fixing, registering, admitting, transcribing, groundskeeping, tutoring, cooking, filing, scheduling, shelving, purchasing, delivering, installing, and of course, any other duties not specifically covered in your job description. We are the nails that hold the campus together, but there's a problem with some nails. Some nails aren't all that sharp, and some nails are a little thick. When you go in your workplaces and you talk to people about what's going on in the province, you'll hear them say, oh, these are hard times, but you know, it's going to get better, the economy's going to turn around, and it's going to be fine, and our jobs are going to be safe. That's fundamentally untrue. I know that's fundamentally untrue because I come from Alberta. And I was in Alberta just last week, about the same time that Premier Ralph Klein announced that the province is debt-free. I was at a sort of an impromptu wedding reception for a couple of friends of mine who eloped, one of them who's a library assistant at the University of Calgary. And found out that U of C is cutting back their budget by 20%. A 20% budget cut in a debt-free province, what's wrong with this picture? It's not a question of economics, it's a question of priorities. And I asked my friend Cindy what her union's planning to do about it, and she shrugged and she said, I don't know. I'm proud to be part of a union that has its priorities straight and has the right idea. I've been lucky to be a member of Local 2950, a local that on a university campus where contracting out is seen as, you know, a means to an end, that we've stood up for our people at Impress, for our people at the bookstore, for our people in plant operations. We've taken that issue to a picket line. And when the Campbell Liberals ordered us back to work, we stayed on that picket line. Because the right to strike isn't just a legal right, it's a moral right. I work in the School of Rehabilitation Sciences in the Faculty of Medicine, which puts me and other people who work in faculties of medicine at the intersection between the education sector and the healthcare sector. What happened with HEU? We saw the storm clouds coming from miles away. We would go to the cafeteria and we would hear maintenance workers, food service workers talking about what they were going to do, how they were going to feed their families, and if they could just go on by themselves. I walked that picket line with people from our faculty when, you know, the sun would come up and when the sun would go down, and I wasn't sure if we were getting anywhere until Bill 37 passed. And then in the afternoon coming home from that picket line, I turned on my TV and I saw in Victoria public school workers walking out, university workers walking out. I mean, when push came to shove, I'm happy to say I was part of the union that shoved first. We do a lot for each other. We do a lot for other unions. But something else I want to mention while I have a microphone in front of me is that this union has also done a lot for me. Like about one in every 10 or so Canadians, I suffer from clinical depression. That condition's complicated by a personality disorder I also suffer from. I've had trouble keeping employment as a result. There are unions that will treat you as a member. They will treat you as a number. They will treat you as a commodity. Local 2950 has always treated me like a human being. They stuck with me through my return to work, as difficult as it was. They stuck with me through my recovery. I'm working again. I've been working for about a year, and I'm in front of you today, and I just want to say thank you. I talked a lot about Alberta. I was born and raised near Edmonton. I started first getting involved in labor through the Calgary and District Labor Council. But I look around this room. I looked at the slides there. I look at where we've been over the past 4 years. I look at where we're going. And I'll tell you this much, it's good to be home.